phone. You know the second place for you to go to look and find a demon masquerading as a Christian? The Bible translators. Bible translators. He's always been after to try to corrupt the Word of God. Those are the two places you need to look for. Behind the pulpit and Bible translators. So we also saw Paul and Silas in jail. They were in jail and they were singing hymns and praising God. And it said that the prisoners were watching them. And I got to be thinking this week, you know, the prisoners are watching us too. They're watching you right now. The prisoners are watching you to see if you're any different than everyone else out here in the world today. Someone told me, I won't say any names, walking in the door, someone said to her, well, you ought to be scared. No, you shouldn't. God's still on the throne. When did God get off the throne? He's still in charge. And then I heard someone else say, in this ear, I got stereo. Over here in this ear, I hear, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You're not supposed to be fearful. And the prisoners, just like they were, watching Paul and Silas to see if they're just like everyone else in the world, or if you're going to act like Christians and trust in God. And they're watching you to see what your response is going to be to dot, dot, dot. Today, it's the Black Plague. Anyway, that was last week's sermon. I encourage you to go to the Facebook page or go to WGOTradio.com or listen in on the radio. That's going to start playing tomorrow morning on the radio station that I'm on. Last week's sermon, if you missed it. Today, we're in the 17th chapter of Acts. Another power-packed week. Another power-packed chapter. Let's pick it up in Acts 17, verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, he went into them, and for three Sabbaths he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. Oh, so in just 3 weeks here, three Sabbaths, Paul founded the church at Thessalonica. And they were a great church. He had nothing but praise for these people. Whereas he was at Corinth for, I think, 18 months. I think that's how long. And boy, he was constantly upset and angry with them, the church at Corinth. And they were a foolish bunch. Verse 5. But the Jews that were not persuaded, becoming envious, they took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, they set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Now, you know what that reading won't do? Let's read that from the King James Version. Verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, they took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. You gotta love that. Lewd fellows of the baser sort. And gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Verse 6, but when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come down here too. Jason has harbored them. These are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. You know, God's looking for a few good men. And he's looking for a few good women. How about that crime hanging over your head? Turning these guys have come in here and they're turning the world upside down. Any volunteers? That's what God's looking for too. A few good men and women that want to turn this crooked world right side up. You don't got to be Moses to do that. You got to be on God's side. He'll give you the gifts and the powers to do it. Simple enough. From putting positive things on Facebook, using that for good, wherever you are. Anyway, there's the first charge against them, or him. He's turned the world upside down. By the way, there's nothing worse than when lewd fellows of the baser sort are out after you. And sometimes that'll happen to you, too. When you invade the enemy's territory, like the President of the United States has, then the enemy will dispatch some lewd fellows of the baser sort out after you to come and get you. Washington, D.C. is full of people that are lewd fellows of the baser sort. It's a swamp full of lewd fellows of the baser sort that'll lie, cheat, and steal to bring you down. There's no honesty or integrity with them. They're lewd fellows of the baser sort. Same as Nadab, who refused to sell his vineyard to Ahab. All of a sudden, Jezebel goes out and gathers some lewd fellows of the baser sort to see that you're disposed of, Nahab, with lies. When Jesus invaded enemy territory, out came the lewd fellows of the baser sort. We found this man, dot, 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 right? Out they come, out of the woodwork. This man said he could rebuild the temple in 3 days. Or else, we found this man teaching not to pay taxes to Caesar. You see, that's a lewd fellow of the baser sort. When did Jesus ever tell someone not to pay taxes? Everyone in here can quote it. Give to, and give to, right. They'll do anything to bring you down. Once they get out of, once you invade the enemy territory, whether you're a politician or whether you're the son of God or whether you are on the side of righteousness, out will come the lewd fellows of the baser sort. And this was Paul's life as a Christian. Verse 10. Then the brethren, immediately they sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. Now when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. See, these guys still haven't learned their lesson. They still, when they get to town, the first thing they do is go to the synagogue and tell them about Jesus. These, verse 11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether or not these things were so. Now look at how these Bereans dealt with something that they did not know or haven't heard before. They searched the scriptures daily to find out whether or not these things were true. And may I say, that's always the correct way to do it, like I do here at Island. On the bottom of practically every sermon that you ever get, on the bottom of the handout is book, chapter, and verse for everything that I preach here in this church. And like I say, if you don't agree with what I say, ask the associate pastor. He'll tell you what's required if you want to complain or charge me with any wrongdoing. Bring what? Bring your Bibles. You know, the big black thing with all the pages in it? Yeah, that, Cindy. Bring that thing that you pick up once a week. Bring that with you, and that's your only. Don't bring any wrongdoing. Bring your Bible into my office and book, chapter, and verse. Otherwise, take thine seat. That's the requirement. Bring the Bible with you. Now, back to the Bereans. This is what the Bereans did. They heard something they didn't understand, so they went to what the Word of God said to see if it was true or not. Verse 12, therefore many of them believed. And also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the Word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came down there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea. But both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. So what do we have? The Jews complained because people were getting saved. Imagine that. Hear me, please. Do you see what happens when God is against you? Do you see what happens when God is against you? For rejecting the Savior, the Bible says, God gave the Jews a spirit of stupor. Eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear. Book, chapter, and verse. Where's that, Pastor? Right. Romans chapter 11, verse 8, if you don't believe me. Romans chapter 11, verse 8. And the end result of this stupor is you want to kill people because they're getting saved. And yet the Apostle Paul was doing the same thing up until chapter 8. He was furious with Stephen and the Christians. He was in a mad panic. It says he was violently arrogant, and he hated Christians, and he dragged them out door by door and committed them all to be killed. Why? Because people were getting saved, and he was infected with a spirit. He was infected. He was infected. Did you know that that is going to happen again in the future, but this time to the Gentiles, like you or me, or like your son, or like your daughter, or like your mother or your father? The same thing that's happened, the same thing that made Paul crazy, is the same thing that's going to happen to people here coming up soon. Where's that in the Bible? Let's turn there this time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm reading out of the New King James. Very important. I'll give you a minute to find it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Listen to this. It says, now the New King James starts with a new sentence. The other translations don't. But it says, the coming of the lawless one. Who's the lawless one? Antichrist. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Look at the next word. Because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Who is the truth? It's Jesus, right? John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Look at the crime for refusing love. With all unrighteous deception, verse 10, among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, that's refusing love. What a thing to die for. Not for your sins. Someone else died for them. You're dying at the end of this age, or when this happens to you, for refusing love. That's the charge over all humanity, is that God loves you. How do you plead? You receive that, right? God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross in your place. Because God, that's the heart of the gospel. God demonstrates, Romans 5 and 8, God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we're still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. That's the heart of the gospel. If you reject that, the same Paul that terrorized the countryside is going to happen to you too. Let me finish reading this. That's why it says, for this reason, verse 11, refusing love, saying no to Jesus, saying, I don't want your love. Isn't that funny? Everybody wants love. You know? And if I went to the jail and went to visit Osama bin Laden, and he told me, you know, I want you to go and I want you to tell Mike that I love him. He's a good guy. So I come back and I tell Mike, you know, Osama told me to tell you that he loves you. Now, I know Mike, he wouldn't say this, but some other Mike might say, you know that Osama, he's not a bad guy after all. Or I went out to California, I ran into old Charlie Manson, and he said, you know, you tell all that Bill Wilson, you know, he's a good guy. I love Bill. So I tell Bill, and Bill goes, you know that Manson, he's all right in my book. But I tell you that God loves you, and you chased me down the street with a hatchet. See, you've got help to get to that position. You've got help. Satan, as this Bible says, he's blinded the minds of those that see not. I tell you, hoodlums love you. You change your opinion of them. I tell you, God loves you, and you want to kill the messenger. You've always killed the messenger. The church, the people, has always killed the messenger. Always. And now, for wanting to kill the messenger, those three words, diatoutou in Greek, three in English, for this reason. Look at what's going to happen. For the mindset, refusing Christ, refusing his love, you're bent out of shape that God loves you. It says, for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion. So that, meaning here's what's going to happen because of your delusion. So that they should believe the lie. So that they all might be damned who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure or delighted in unrighteousness. You'll be just like Paul in those early chapters, or just like these Jews, in your very own personal stupor, despising those that are being saved. Only much worse, the Bible says you will believe the lie. You know what the lie is? It's three words. Antichrist is God. Where is that in the Bible? He sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 through 6. Who do you think is going to believe that? Those people that bring you the news every night? Those that are diametrically opposed to you and want to see you killed? Those that demand a cover on your Bible or your child's Bible in school? Think about that curse, friend. That when this Antichrist comes, the same thing that's happened to the Jews, God's going to flip the script and it's going to happen to them. God is going to force them to believe the lie. Antichrist sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, and all the people are going to say, count me in. Except for you, the people of God, who will recognize a counterfeit. Me and my brother always fight over the rapture. I don't believe it. He believes it. I don't believe it. He believes it. But he knows the word. He goes, I'm not a fool. My brother says, when I see someone sitting as God in the temple of God, I'm going to run. And that's the right answer. Argue over things we don't know. Warning, when you see someone sitting in a rebuilt temple, get out of Dodge. Get on Secretariat and head out of town. You know, I was reading on Secretariat the other day. Did you know when he was out to stud that the other horses wouldn't eat until he ate? That just kills me. I'm serious. All these horses out there, not one of them would touch a morsel of food until he ate. 14 quarts a day. No one would touch food until he ate. That was the king of the horses there. God's noble steed, Secretariat. Okay, book, chapter, and verse. Paul's in Athens. Probably has a week before his buddies arrive. So now he's going to hang out in Athens, see what's going on there in town. We're at verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. Maybe he had cable TV on today. Talk about a city and a nation that's given over to idols. Verse 17. Therefore, okay, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him and said, what does this spermologos want to say? Some translations say babbler. My Bible says seed picker. Others say he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. You can't preach Jesus without the resurrection. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is what? Raised him from the dead. You'll be saved. Romans 10:9. All right, so they took him and brought him to the Areopagus. That's where Ares is the Greek or Latin word for Mars, like the planet Mars. They brought him up to Mars Hill, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you're bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there, they spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. All right, now Paul's answer is textbook. Matter of fact, it is textbook. This is what they teach you in seminary on how to preach a sermon. Is this sermon here? You start with a compliment. Other than the King James Version, that doesn't really have a compliment there. But the New King James reads like this. Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive in all things that you're very religious. See, you don't walk into a strange crowd and start insulting people. He wanted to get their trust, their attention. He complimented them for being religious folk. But it's a very difficult Greek word to translate. That's why the King James says, I perceive in all things that you are too superstitious. The King James has there.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1 right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
My